one of the preeminent basketball writers going. Talk about an insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Chad Ford Insider. And let's welcome as he is kind enough to join us between Milwaukee and Chicago, Chad Ford. Good morning, Chad.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, so you were with Simmons, and how good did the jump shot look?
It's better. I mean, you know, we saw him take three threes the entire season at LSU, and he made one of those. So just to be in a gym and see him get up, you know, 100 three-pointers over the course of several hours. Look, he's not Steph Curry, and I don't think anybody expects that he is. And he's not even Brandon Ingram as far as that goes, as far as his ability to shoot the three. And I watched a private workout of Ingram a few weeks ago, but I don't think his shot is broken. I think that he can hit that shot. He hit it with regularity. At times, he was really in rhythm shooting the basketball, and he's doing a bunch of mid-range stuff as well. And I think it's really behooved him. He did something, I think, really smart for a draft prospect in that he got out of LSU, which some people were criticizing for, but he's been working out for 2 months in Cleveland with a total pro regimen, total pro team. You know, he's represented by Clutch Sports, which is really Team LeBron. LeBron James has been in there at times, and they're trying to get him ready for the NBA life now. And his body looked great. He's put on about 20 pounds since he's been in there. It's helped with his explosiveness, and he's working on those areas of his game that he needs to work on. And I think questions about his work ethic and how serious Ben Simmons all about that. I think the thing that I walked away most impressed with was how he was approaching the process itself. Very focused, very detailed. This is his life 24/7 now. And I think that when he gets to the NBA and he gets to the summer league, you're gonna see an improved Ben Simmons. And that's what you always want out of a number one pick, is a guy who's going to keep working on their game and is dedicated to getting better and better. And that's what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, that's enough to just go, you know, let me do cartwheels when you hear that. Because, look, you nailed it when you said his shot wasn't broken. That's why he always had to go number one. It's why he's the best all-around player. All due respect to Ingram, he's the franchise kind of kid. And he was always kind of made, Chad, it's so interesting because you look at him and, you know, the academy player, his dad knew from a young age. I love the backstories where, you know, Brett Brown told us his dad would take him to a gym and if he wasn't playing point guard, he'd take him right out. Like, he was built for this moment.
He really is, and I think he's going to be a much better player in the NBA in a game that has better spacing. And that plays the way that the NBA plays. Now, look, he's got areas of his game he's got to work on. I do think that while his shot was much better than what I was expecting to see, it's still got a ways to go, and I think he knows that. And playing hard all the time, even when your team is losing, is going to be an issue that I think he's going to have to continue to work on, because whatever the Sixers do this summer, and I think they're going to be much better a basketball team than fans have seen the last 3 years, they're still going to lose a lot of basketball games. And he's going to have to be the person that sets that tone in the locker room. But I think all of the criticism that has been focused on him, I think it's been ridiculous. Because, I mean, this kid, just statistically, had one of the greatest seasons that a freshman has ever had in college basketball. And I, you know, people will look and try to pick him apart. But look, I've never really been that concerned that NBA teams haven't really been doing that. That's much more been the media and people that didn't like him or didn't like his body language or thought that they were somehow experts, that they could watch how he acted in certain moments on the court and know exactly what that means, that translates him into him being a bad kid. I think he's a good kid. I think he's highly intelligent. I don't see how the Sixers can pass him. Could Ingram end up being better? Perhaps. I mean, if he turns into Kevin Durant, you know.
Well, that's a huge leap, right? That's a huge leap everybody wants to make. Anybody who's anti-Simmons throws out the Ingram is Durant, and you go, well, wait a second. That's a huge leap in itself. Come on.
He's got like a 1% chance of being Durant. And maybe he'll do that. But he could also be Tayshaun Prince, who's a really good player in the league. But he could be that, too. I mean, and I don't think it's fair to say Ben Simmons is going to be the next LeBron or that Ben Simmons is going to be the next Magic Johnson either. Mm-hmm. That's also not fair to him. He probably only has a 1% chance of being those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that when you look at the complete package that Simmons brings to the table and you look at his weaknesses are things that you can fix. And I think that's the thing that's going to stand out. If the Sixers ever get him in for a workout, and you know, one of the things I talked with his agent, Rich Paul, they have still not scheduled a workout for the Sixers, nor have they scheduled a workout for the Lakers. I'm not sure that either team's going to get one, but if they do get him in, I think the thing that will stand out right away is he's already improved from what we saw in college, and that's what you want to see.
I mean, from the Sixers standpoint, Chad, we're talking to Chad Ford, man, must read, must follow on Twitter, at Chad Ford Insider. From a Sixers perspective, with having Brett Brown there, I mean, what more do you need to know, you know? I mean, it's not like Brett's has understood this kid, followed this kid, has a relationship to the camp.
Well, I think Brett Brown's a great coach for him, too. I mean, that helps. I think a couple of other things is the Sixers do have time. They don't have to be a playoff contender next year. I also think Brett Brown is comfortable being creative, and I think that part of the creativity with Ben Simmons is if he is going to be at his best, he needs the ball in his hands. He needs to be creating for other people. That's what makes him special at 6'10", 240 pounds. That's the elite thing that he brings to the table, and you have to have a coach that's going to willing to let him do that, and not every coach in the NBA would. Now, I think it would have worked out for him, Lakers or Sixers. I mean, his coach in the Lakers would have been Luke Walton, who was a point forward and understood what that brings to the table. But I think Brett's going to play in that way, and I think that that's where you're going to really see him thrive. And look, I don't ever think it was a question. I don't think the Sixers were ever leaning Ingram. I don't think that they ever thought that. I think they're doing their homework, as every team should do, and they'll continue to do it up to the draft. But if the draft was today, it'd be Simmons, and I think it would be Simmons in a landslide right now, if it was today. And, you know, they're going to still do their homework over the next 3 weeks. And, you know, medical issue, you know, they can uncover stuff.
Yeah.
It's happened in the past in the draft. But if the draft were today, Simmons is going to be the guy.
What do you hear, Chad, on the Sixers and the Bulls trade? The Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson Dunleavy, the number 14 pick, as a salary dump for Noel.
I don't know. I read the report. I have no idea whether it's true or not. It doesn't really feel true to me. In that, I think that while the Sixers are going to put some veterans on the floor and bring some guys in, it doesn't feel to me like that's the direction that they're going to go. With Derrick Rose's health injuries and Todd Gibson's age and everything else to pass on to trade Noel. And by the way, I'm not sure the Bulls necessarily are going to give away the farm. That's a pretty big haul to give away for Noel as well. I mean, on both sides, it just doesn't necessarily ring true to what I think the Sixers are going to look at. And to be honest with you, I think they're more interested in trading Okafor if they can. I think the way Brett Brown wants to play is fast.
Right.
And with Ben Simmons, you're going to be able to play fast. He's great in transition. He's great pushing the ball up and down the court. And that's not Okafor's game. That's not where he's going to thrive. And while Noel is limited in ways offensively, Noel is the sort of guy that can really run the floor and play fast. And so I think it's much more likely they move Okafor.
Well, I also think you get more value for Okafor than you would Noel.
I do. I think that's part of it as well. But I think some of it's just going to be stylistically. And they haven't had a superstar to build around, but they will have one in Ben Simmons. And I think that you're going to see them build a team around Simmons so that that puts them in the best case scenario to succeed. And so bringing in Derrick Rose, who's a primary ball handler, is probably not the best move when you're trying to build a team around Ben Simmons.
I think it's much more like
I do think they're going to bring in veterans. I do think that they're going to be active in free agency. I do think that they're going to try to be a team that wins between, you know, 25 and 35 games next year, so that they can start building a culture that isn't that we're just going to go get our butts kicked every night in Philadelphia. But I don't think you'll see something as drastic as that.
Any thoughts on C.J. McCollum and the Blazers and whether or not he'll be available as a restricted free agent, if they would move him?
I don't think they're going to move him. I think they'd be crazy to move him. And I think the way the NBA is going and the way the Blazers played the Warriors in the Western Conference playoffs, having two ball handlers, having two playmakers and having two shot creators on the floor in the backcourt, I think is a pretty successful model right now. And I think, you know, the Blazers shocked all of us this year and how well they played. And those guys aren't easy to come by. I tell you right now, Brett Brown would love to have them.
They'd do that
in a heartbeat,
yeah,
if they could get him. But I can't imagine that the Blazers are going to do that. That's their backcourt they're going to build around. It's not as good as Golden State's, but it's really good. And then you try to get the other pieces.
Yeah, I love McCollum.
Around it.
I did a Portland radio show yesterday there, and they were trying to do a trade with me. And I go, yeah, sure. we'll do this deal.
What did they want?
They wanted Okafor.
That would be done so fast it would make your head.
And it was, we're not going to pay him, and you can't pay him. You got Lillard, and it was a whole thing. And I was just like, well, that's exactly what the Sixers need, is a kid like McCollum.
Hey, Chad, what would you consider fair value for Okafor? I know that there's a lot of, we're trying to match up with trade partners, and we know that Boston was involved. They had the number 3 pick. Do you think that's fair value from either perspective, going to Boston? And if you thought that was offered, you think the Sixers would do the deal?
I think it's fair value for the Sixers. If they could get the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th pick in this draft, that's fair value for the Sixers for Okafor, given the way they're trying to build their team and the players that are available in the draft. Now you can start looking at a Jamal Murray or a Buddy Hield. You can start looking at...
Chad, let me ask you, I hate to interrupt you. Do you think Buddy Hield for Okafor is fair? I don't. I wonder if he can even create his own shot in the next level. I don't know. Maybe I look at the kid. I just see 5 minutes into his career, he was double teamed. I think he's got value.
I think his value will continue to diminish in the way the league is going and the way the league is trying to play. And I think this is the problem. 10 years ago, you wouldn't trade Okafor. And if you did try to trade Okafor, you'd probably have 25, 26 trade partners in the league. Now, I think the Sixers are already finding that I don't think Boston will do that for 3. And I don't think Phoenix will do that for 4. And, you know, Minnesota has Karl Anthony Towns, so it's unlikely that they would do that for 5. I think they're realizing that while Okafor is a good basketball player, and it's not a knock on him, his style of play is not the direction that the league is going, and it becomes limiting to teams. Teams love guys that have positional versatility now, guys that can play multiple positions, can defend multiple positions, can do multiple things on offense now. That is what coaches want. That's where the league is going. Okafor is an old school, back to the basket center that plays below the rim, and those guys, it's just harder for them to make a living.
Yeah, man, you just disheartened me.
You disheartened you?
Yeah. Listen, I get the trend of the league, and I got to tell you, I there's a place for it. I get it, but I mean, my God, I mean, you know, the devaluing of finishers, the devaluing of guys with just incredible post skills disheartens me, quite frankly.
It's just not the way coaches want to play. At least I will say this, though. It is fun to watch that style of basketball. I mean, you can't not watch the Golden State Warriors and not get a smile on your face. Even the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think if Okafor was a better defender, this would change the equation, right? We saw like there's a place for Steven Adams in the league in the Oklahoma City series, but it was because of what he could do defensively. And I think if Okafor was a better defender, then that would change the equation. But because he's not, I think that's the challenge. Yeah, I think getting a pick in that range or a guard would be great for the Sixers. I just don't know. I can't just scan the league and say what teams are out there right now today that would say, you know what, we want Okafor and want to play. I think the Lakers were probably your best bet.
Yeah,
I think that the Lakers really liked Okafor before the draft. They almost drafted him before they switched about 48 hours before the draft to D'Angelo Russell, in part because Kobe and Byron Scott both sort of pushed that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they really like him and they could actually use him. But I don't think they're going to give up the number two pick for that. Maybe if the Sixers offer the Lakers their pick back the next year, then they could get that. But that's a pretty high price to pay.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
That could be a very, very valuable pick for the Sixers if the Lakers don't strike gold in free agency. If they strike out in free agency, it's a great pick. If they strike gold in free agency, then maybe that was worth giving it back.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Chad, great stuff, man. We follow you. You do a great job covering this league, and you really get inside. You take us inside. So thank you very much.
Yeah, enjoy Ben Simmons.
Thank you. We will, oh, man. Yeah. I'm looking for it. I love him. Thanks, Chad. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Chad Ford, ESPN.